ABC Radio Australia.
It's a sound that reverberates right across the Pacific. And it doesn't matter which end of the ocean you go, you're likely to hear it. I'm talking about slit drums. These long, hollowed-out logs appear in many forms across the Pacific. You'll even see it featured in Hollywood movies like Moana.
Bang the drum.
And of course, one of the most famous hit songs in the Pacific by Tokelau band Te Waka is literally about the drums themselves. They call it the lali in Fiji. In Vanuatu, it's the tam-tam. Cook Islanders know it as the pate. And my people in Papua New Guinea, we call it the garamut. Now, I could have gone to a fancy academic anthropologist at some big university to ask him some questions about the slit drum. But instead, I called up my auntie.
Hello?
Hello, auntie.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Michael.
Good afternoon to you. Yes, I know. I can hear your voice.
My auntie Deborah, like me, hails from Beepi Island. It's off the west coast of Manus Island in Papua New Guinea. And after a little catch-up, we spoke a little bit about our slit drum, the garamut.
Because you see, it's garamut, it's family, or let's say it's clan has their own.
Mm.
So, like, we just can't go ahead and dance any other garamut. I mean, if we want to do that, we have to do, it's a customary thing that we have to go and give them, we pay for it.
So like an offering?
Yes, for them to give us the permission. Because it's a belief back at home that if you don't, and you just go ahead and do what's there's always bad luck in the family.
Mm. So basically, if you don't want bad luck in Manus, you don't go playing another clan's beats unless you get the right permissions from the family. And even then, there are rules about who gets to be involved.
Pano is my grandfather. Now that he's gone, it doesn't mean that they've gone and anybody can just come and say, okay, we go ahead, let's dance the Pano. No. They will still have to come and get permission from us. And if we say yes, it's again, culture. There should be members of the family, of the clan. You have to be in front.
Mm.
You have to lead the dance. Even the beating of the garamutu, it has to be one of our family members to be there. We just cannot get anybody. If anybody goes in and does that, you have the right to just go and stop them from beating the garamut and dancing the dance.
Can you give me some examples? So when is the garamut used? Like, when would you find it being played?
We don't just beat the garamut for just entertainment, no. I mean, here now in the city, we do that because people just come and ask, and we have a little group here and do it. But at home, they don't, only on special occasions. Wedding, opening of the church or of a school, during, what will I say, how will I say, the house cry or the dead.
Funerals.
Yes, you have special garamuts for that. I'm receiving guests and important, you know, VIPs, Okay, like, let's say, or a member of the parliament is visiting the island, then we do have garamut.
I think it's great to hear that there's still a lot of tradition and ceremony around the garamut amongst my own people. But look, that's just one example of slit drums in the Pacific. I had to expand my horizons, so I reached out to the other end of the ocean and spoke to a humble Cook Island man by the name of Henry Framhine. And he told me all about their drums, the pate.
I'm from the Cook Islands, the island of Rarotonga. I'm half Rarotongan and half Tahitian. My mother is Tahitian. We grew up there in the early years, traveling between Tahiti and Rarotonga quite often. My family in Tahiti are very musical. So growing up with the drums, the ukulele, the singing, the dancing, it basically got drummed into you, pardon the pun. Yeah. Wherever you are on the side of the road, you could be with a group of friends, you pick up a stick and you start to hit something. Right? And that leads to the name pate. The beat is the pate, hence the name of the actual slit drum itself being called pate.
Now, my phone conversation with Henry actually went for almost a full hour. Speaking to him was like speaking to a human encyclopedia on not just how the drums are played, but how they're made as well.
To tune all these percussion instruments up, you need a really good carver with a sound ear to tune them all together. And it's not made overnight. You need to pick your logs. the logs that we normally use come from the middle tree or the Tamanu tree. And these trees are getting harder and harder to find down the island. So,
are they native to the Cookies?
They're native to the Cookies, yep. So that timber's never wasted. So when they decide to make a drum out of those two trees, the wood's dried, and then they start the carving. And it's done slowly so they can get the tune right.
You said it takes days. Or like, let's say one kara. How long would it take to make that one?
Kara could take weeks.
Wow, okay.
Because you're not just talking about the actual carving of it. You're talking about the tuning of the actual kara itself, which is the main thing.
Yeah.
Because to hit those, it needs to be heard miles away.
See, that point right there is very important. Because the slit drums aren't just musical instruments on the islands. They were also used as a means of communication.
Back in the old days when they used to go to battle, that was used to send the warning signals out to the village, the whole island. So you could hit one here, and someone could be 2 kilometers away will hear it, and he will pass the message on as well. But the sound has to be able to travel that distance from all these drums.
These threads of shared culture that we have across the Pacific is one of the best things about being a Pacific Islander, you know? Whether you're a Polynesian, Melanesian, or Micronesian, there's just so much connective tissue between all these islands that are so much ocean. Like, despite our language differences and tradition and beliefs, something as seemingly simple as a hollowed-out wooden log can unite us.
Everything is learnt by ear. Nothing's written. There's no musical notes for it. From the Samoans, it went to the Tokelauas, and then it went across to the Niuean people, so they all use it as part of their culture now. French Polynesia, our cousins from Tahiti, we used to have a lot of travel between the Cook Islands or Rarotonga and Tahiti. The drums were introduced there as well. So we share pretty much the same culture, the same dancing. The drums are like magnets. You hit the drum, everyone comes running.
No, I have personally, like, I have fond memories because I'm from Manus in Papua New Guinea and, you know, the similar drums, well, we call it garamut. And, like, I mean, I can be a bit biased. I think Manus Islanders are the best drummers in PNG. But, like, second thought that comes to my head whenever I think of it, I think of whenever I'm at a rugby league game and PNG Kumuls are playing the Cook Islanders, there's always this section of Cookies just banging the pate in the corner. It's just such a great, like, it just really adds to that atmosphere. And you feel like these are players, but it feels like they're being called to battle, you know? And it's just such a, it really gets the blood pumping. I love it.
That's correct. Most Polynesians can relate to that, including the Papua New Guineans.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I really do love me some Cook Islander pate. I think it's top-notch drumming on a world standard. But as far as Papua New Guinea goes, well, the BP Island bias runs strong in my family.
I must be honest with you, BP is the best.
I'll agree.
Out of Manus, BP is the top, and in the country, Manus is the best.
You still dance today?
Oh, yeah, I do. I dance with all my boys. After dancing, I come back home with knee problem. Elizabeth tells me, Mom.
Yes, regardless of the knee problems, you just can't help it when the drums start beating. It is powerful and infectious. Many thanks to Henry Framhine of the Cook Islands and my auntie Deborah Pagen-Lowry of Papua New Guinea. I look forward to bringing you more stories about our unique and shared Pacific culture every now and then. And of course, if you'd like to submit a topic for us to cover in a future Encyclopedia Pacifica, you can email us, mijadaily@abc.net.au. We're always open to your input. Until then, I've been Michael Chow, and this has been another entry filed for Encyclopedia Pacifica.